Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, it's a Reaction Monday here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. After the Texans fall to the Denver Broncos, 18-15, it's a last-second game-winning field goal for the Broncos, a game-winning drive, in fact, that looked very, it felt very familiar to the Texans as Week 2, Tampa Bay Bucks, Baker Mayfield did it to you. And weirdly enough,
it looked the same.
Yeah, I mean, you had Henry Toto there, looking back towards the backfield, and yet somehow being in an oddly ill-placed position for Bo Nix to be able to step up and pick up that first down. That was frustrating. C.J. Stroud lost early on in this game. In fact, D'Amico Ryan spoke about that when he talked to the media here recently. You heard that here just a little while ago. He said that C.J. Stroud in the concussion protocol. He did say that he had talked to C.J. last night and that he was feeling better, for whatever that's worth.
Feeling a little bit better. See how the week goes.
But you acknowledged it. You said it earlier, and we didn't go through all five. But it is a layered process to return from a concussion in the NFL.
There's five steps, and we don't necessarily have to list them. I mean, I have them, but it's basically what you can do early in the week, responding to things, workouts with the team, and then practice and all that. But every step of the way, after every step, you have to be cleared by a doctor. And I'm not sure if that's a team doctor or an NFL doctor.
Well, actually, you say you don't want to go through it. I want to go through it real quick because what's worth noting is that the five steps are you have to be able to do symptom-limited activity, right? So you need to be able to do activity without symptoms, right? Mm-hmm. You need to be able to do aerobic exercise, which obviously is a certain level of exercise that's high. Then you need to be able to do football-specific exercise, club-based non-contact training. So you need to be able to get through that. And the reason why I wanted to get through this is the fifth one, which is the most important. You need to then be able to go through full football activity and clearance, which means he would need to get through the protocol by Thursday, right?
Wednesday at the earliest.
I was like, could he get through the protocol? Like, again,
by Thursday,
he would have to be a modern
latest,
miracle.
I'll put it that way. Yeah.
There isn't football activity on Friday, is there?
There's walkthrough.
Does that count?
I don't think so.
Maybe it does, but I can't imagine, if we're being thorough, which sometimes that's been questioned with the NFL, that football activity being a walkthrough, trying to come back from a concussion, would count. So I feel like it would have to be
Matt Thursday.
Which leans me even further to the idea that you might have Davis Mills starting on Sunday as you welcome in the Jacksonville
Jaguars. And I keep going back to this. You're right. And every step of the way, you have to have medical clearance. In other words, you do it, an NFL doctor or team doctor says, yes, he's good to go, and then you go to the next step and so on. So there's that. I keep going back to, we all know how big every game is right now. This is a division game with a team that is 5-3. You just heard him, and then that's what hit me the strongest in terms of D'Amico's comments, is like, we have to do things differently. We have to game plan better.
Yeah.
And you have a quarterback that doesn't get those reps. Now, maybe they can be in the meetings. I don't know how that's going to play out, but it's certainly not going to get the reps on the field for that specific game plan with those specific plays. And then you play on Sunday. That's where I am. I think Davis Mills is going to get the majority of those, and that means he might be out another week.
I'm less worried if you were able to, again, miraculously get C.J. Stroud through the protocol and ready to play for Sunday versus the Jacksons.
Less worried about that?
Because you've played the Jags before, right?
Sure.
I would hope the game plan is different, but I imagine that there's some things that would carry over to where C.J. Stroud, who is starting to feel like, or at least to me on the outside, starting to feel like he has a better grasp on what this offense is, whatever that is, for whatever that's worth, that he would be able to step in without like the fullness of the week. Now, when you talk about injuries, one of the bigger ones is the Titus Howard one, who is also in the concussion protocol. And I imagine the same questions and concerns I have. That one gets bigger because his understudy being Blake Fisher takes away jumbo packages we were talking about, which is a thing.
And he's starting at right tackle.
And then he's starting at right tackle, yeah. Which at least I know two thirds of the show not super excited about.
Mm-hmm.
But I tease this, and I do want to get to this, because in listening to D'Amico Ryans, there was something, a light bulb that clicked on.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been big on the here's the Patriot way. Like here's the things that they are clearly modeling
right.
from a lot of the staff's tenure there in New England. And I think that there's one thing that's clearly missing, and I don't know why it took me so long to get here, but there's one thing that's clearly missing if indeed you're trying to go with the next man up, every man just do your job, you know, mentality.
How the Patriots do
that
things.
The Patriots did yeah. things, especially mm-hmm. under Bill Belichick as the head coach.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, they were supremely not loyal, supremely not loyal to less than stellar, subpar play.
They didn't let loyalty get in the way.
Without question.
They didn't let loyalty get in. I think that's a great point by
like,
you.
Bill Belichick.
And I'm kind of angry at myself for not thinking of it.
We used to make jokes, me and my friends, when somebody fumbled the football, like a running back fumble for mm-hmm. the Patriots. Like, oh, he about to get cut.
Yeah.
Like, not only is he going to get benched, like he will get cut. Bill Belichick was good for that.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick was very good for, if you do something that is well outside of the bounds of what we expect from you on this football field, you are out of here. Mm-hmm. They had no time to suffer substandard performance. And I think that if you are going to be the coach that time and time again steps out and goes, you know what? We just need to be better. We need to go and win these one-on-one blocks. We need to, you know, just go if we're on the goal line, which I think I agree with in a general sense of mm-hmm. football. If you're on the goal line and you can't find it within you to muscle up, then the car crash sport might not be the one for you necessarily,
yes.
right? Like, I understand that. However, the other side of that coin, you know, the other foot or the shoe that drops on that is, mm-hmm. and if you cannot, then what happens? Like, where is the, and it feels like if you cannot, well, we're just going to keep running out there. And
yes.
We'll eventually hope that we get it together. And that doesn't fit. I feel like this needs to be an all or nothing proposition if this is the mentality that you take. Not that I think it was a particularly great one. I didn't love the human aspect of what Bill Belichick did. It was brutal. It felt sick. It felt like you kept players on edge.
Yeah.
Numbers of players have gone through that that Patriot system mm-hmm. and come out and said that if it wasn't for the winning, they absolutely despised
yeah.
playing there. It was not a fun environment, and not even that fun is the metric, but you go to yeah. work and you're dreading. You have anxiety going yeah. in. But as much as we could say that, it worked. And right now, not having results, that's the thing that's the most egregious thing right now.
Not only are they not, you know, sort of, you know, they're doing things, a lot of things. I'm going to be fair to them because they don't think it's all one thing. But they're doing a lot of things like the Patriots did things. But what you just said is something they not only are not doing, but they go to the extreme going the other direction. Like, their loyalty is almost to a fault. And I'm specifically, you know, thinking of Cole Popovich and Jake Andrews at center. Well, he coached him at Troy, and he's a tough guy, and he's sort of, you know, the hard-nosed and works real hard and all that stuff. Lakin Tomlinson, you know, another guy that is
Lakin just, Tomlinson might be the poster boy of this. And I again, every time I say this, I feel so bad because we had a delight chatting with Lakin Tomlinson in training camp. He was pretty substandard early on
yes.
in this season. He's had somewhat better play, but all of this is relative,
mm-hmm.
you know? And again, if you're taking this to that Patriot way, Lakin Tomlinson would have been
gone.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Jake Andrews, gone.
Hell, we don't even have to keep it within the season. Like, we can go back to the thing that clearly frustrated us the most, going back to the general manager. Substandard offensive line play, they would have made sure that we have better offensive linemen and a different opportunity to go out and put up a good product.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt like they were just like, it's fine. By and large, you know, bring in some bodies and it'll all be all right. And clearly, the competition will get us right. And it clearly didn't get you nearly far enough.
No, they are going well beyond, you know. And again, it felt brutal, as I mentioned. The Patriots, if you didn't do your job, see ya. They're going well beyond that here. And I think that's a really good point by you that it's not just, you know, loyalty. Stick with them and they'll get better. That's not the way they usually have done things in New England, and they're certainly going the other direction here.
Right, and I mean, the very evident places is like you see a Jalen Knoll. In fact, a very good question asked of D'Amico when it comes to, like, what, clearly we know that he's willing to allow, you know, his young guys to come in and make an impact. We talked about last year to great degree, Kamari Lassiter getting in as a rookie at outside corner, and then Kalen Bullock as a rookie getting in at safety and having very big, important roles on an importantly very good defense, right? And now you have this year, you know, Jaden Higgins, Jalen Knoll. Higgins a little bit more so than Knoll, I think, getting opportunity on the offense. But what is the difference there? And D'Amico's answer was basically that those are four completely different guys. I found it interesting, and now maybe I'm just picking nits, right, when I get to parsing the actual language. Because, you know, he said that those are four different guys. He didn't say they're four different circumstances, right? He didn't talk about necessarily, well, there are veterans here that we trust more. Not necessarily that he would even be saying that, but it didn't feel like that was what he was intimating. He said those are four different guys.
He said it's not apples to apples.
How do you hear that?
Well, I think it was because then at the end he made sure to credit them. You know, they're doing everything we ask them to do.
But clearly not necessarily, right?
They're like growing, they're developing. But yeah, but when you see what we've seen on the field a year ago, and to be fair, both those guys started from day one. You know, Lassiter and Bullock. They were on the field from day one. So there is that difference. But nevertheless, when we see what we're seeing on the field from Jalen Knoll, at minimum, it means you should get more than 11 snaps. I'm not saying he should just, like, take over for Christian Kirk. Obviously, Kirk deserves some, you know, some credit and some grace there because of what he's been as an NFL player. But 41 plays to 11?
Yeah. If nothing else, again, the loyalty needs to be to production. That's where this Texans team, I think, if you can manage to squeeze some things out, the loyalty needs to be to production. Almost harshly so. And I think that that goes in a lot of different places. Obviously, the first one that you go to is Jalen Knoll. The loyalty needs to be production. I think that some people will get to running back as well, seeing Dari Ogunbowale out there. Loyalty needs to be to production. But I think also, like, even in the game planning, I think the loyalty needs to be to what is this purely pragmatic, like, because your back is against the wall at this point, right?
Yes.
I know that D'Amico Ryans was like, every game mattered in 3-5, and I think that that's the mentality that you have to take. There, does anybody believe that playoffs is still anything within the realm of possibility? Like, I almost feel silly. I have around the AFC South locked and loaded for today's show. And John Lopez, I'm going to be entirely honest. I'm going to pull the curtain back. I have no idea if I should bring it out because I feel silly talking about, well, let's look at what's happening around the AFC South and see what you're not contending with these teams right now.
Not right now. I mean, I do think, you know, there is a distant possibility. But right now, it's a distant possibility, and obviously the Jacksonville game has becomes that much more, in mind. But he talked about that we can't talk playoffs right now. He said it doesn't change the mindset being 3-5. Every game is on the line. I think it does change the mindset. I think it absolutely changes the mindset with personnel, with what I mentioned in the last segment, how you're calling play. Because he keeps saying we got to do something different. Got to do something different. And you got to do something different. You've got, you know, there is no more time. There is no more time to kind of have that loyalty to the staff. And that's what this is as well. We talk about the loyalty with players, the loyalty with Nick Caley, you know, like, he's our guy. You know, we brought him in, you know, and I'm not going to mention, you know, that university or anything, but anyway.
You made a university a bad word. You managed to make a university. That's crazy.
But they're almost like, hey, you can't be loyal to Nick Caley at this point, at least in the red zone. I mean, mix things up, you know, how you're game planning, the plays you're putting in, et cetera.
Yeah, the frustrating thing, though, is I hear you on, like, because basically what you're talking about is you move it around. Somebody else call these players. Somebody else, like, have more priority or preeminence.
This is our package, that kind of thing.
The thing that I just keep looking at with this, I can't imagine that with all them dudes, when they are going through game planning, that they all just sit quietly and there's no way it's not collaborative. In fact, that was one of the things that it seemed like with Nick Caley, we were being told, right, is the idea is he seems so much more collaborative. He wants other people's opinions. So I'm going to take them at the words. This is then the offense of all of those people in those room, in that room, rather, bringing in their opinions. And right now it's still substandard.
I think it is very collaborative. I think having that many guys with, you know, with pedigree, and Nick Caley would be dumb not to be collaborating. But one guy ultimately says, this is what we're running in these situations. Maybe that changes, you know, is what I'm saying. Because, you know, you get all this information, all these suggestions, all these plays, all these sets, all the packages and all that. But Nick Haley's ultimately, you know, pulling the trigger on those. I'm saying maybe that changes.
Can you give me Dalton Schultz here? Dalton Schultz after the game, one of the things I like about Dalton Schultz is he's pretty open with you. I think he gives pretty good answers as well. The only thing that'll annoy me a little bit about Dalton Schultz is he will throw dude in there every single time that he speaks. But this is a cut one from Dalton Schultz, because fixing this offense is ultimately priority number one. The defense shows up. Even the special team showed up in this game. Offense is priority number one if this team wants to find a way to get anywhere near salvaging where the season's supposed to be. What were some things that made it hard, Dalton, to execute in this game?
Dude, just execution. Credit to them, dude. They played lights out, like, especially down there. Like, we had the ball at the one. We ran it four times. One was a false start, but I mean, we couldn't get a yard. So, you know, they came to play in those situations, and we just weren't able to execute.
Look, I obviously he's right about that. And there were, you know, the other thing about this, and you mentioned this earlier, you know, it wasn't just the physical aspect down in the red zone. Like, they didn't have a lot of penalties, but boy, the penalties they had were just brutal.
It feels like we come back to the it's always something, right?
Yes.
Like that is the nature of this team. It's always something.
Pressure's ramped up, big time situation, and you get the penalty.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, as much as I'm looking around the league, I mean, you see games all the way around the league. That was, again, part of the around the AFC South is that you have the Indianapolis Colts losing, right, for the first time. And even the teams that are at the very top of this, they get, I mean, that was this weekend in NFL mm-hmm. football. There was a number of, hey, wait, they're losing? That did not feel like something right. that I had expected. I thought that they were a good team, and then here they are losing to a team that feels like it's beneath them.
Mm-hmm.
But even with that being the case, the Texans are in a different level of when they need a play, that play is not being made. Which, if any, like, it might not be as fair. You could tell me whether it's not, right? Whether it is or whether it's not. The fact that this team, in the moments where you need a play, more often than not doesn't, is the thing that I need to know on whether it's a good or bad team, right? Like, mm-hmm. the execution, being able to, you know, move on the line, all right, whatever. The fact that in the biggest moments, and sadly enough, that even shows up a little bit on defense
mm-hmm.
Compared to last year where, I mean, and I'm trying to remember which game this was. There was a particular play where there's a big play. Kalen Ballock is busted, but he hauls ass backwards, stops, you know, goes ahead and gets a tackle, stops a touchdown. They ultimately have a goal line stand last year, right? Those are the plays that winning teams make.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like this year the plays that are made in those big moments are a penalty on fourth and goal where you finally are actually able to possibly get in, but you're backed up.
I think you're right.
Or, you know, Henry Toto went mm-hmm. on in two different occasions where the quarterback is the, you know, you need to make sure that you keep him corralled mm-hmm. and you don't, and the quarterback is able to go and make a play that ultimately leads to get. Those are the big time plays that this team makes, and that's one of the most frustrating. I don't even know how you coach that necessarily or how, but it feels like it's very telling.
No, you're right on both points, but it's clearly, it happens so much more on offense, which is a reflection of maybe some game planning, maybe some preparation, but really those moments when you're supposed to be making plays. I mean, we just heard D'Amico Ryan say it about the red zone when he was asked. It's a lot of what ifs. You know, those what ifs are going the other direction. That's a reflection of the players on the field.
I mean, it's a reflection of the whole thing.
Of the whole thing.
Like, it's the and the problem with, I get where he was coming from on the everybody got their what ifs.
Yeah.
The reason why we got what ifs is because there aren't no, well, there it is.
Right? Yeah,
there's right. no like, oh, well, there's the spark. Let's follow that. Let's follow that lead to find success. It's a whole bunch of I don't know. So all we have is what ifs,
right.
which again, another indictment of what this team is right now after a really crushing loss versus the Denver Broncos on a Sunday, 18-15. Texas 3-5 and looking for answers mm-hmm. in various different ways. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get to our lunchtime confessions.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused,
is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.